The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The Astros are at the All-Star break. They are one game out in the American League West. Four games above 500 at 50-46, a couple of days off before a weekend series in Seattle against the first-place Mariners, with first place actually on the line. Very excited to get to the other side of the All-Star break. Yes, this is a rather hacky radio thing to do, but we do grades in all sports, and generally, in schools, specifically college, you're graded on a two-semester basis, right? There's the first semester. There's the second semester. For the Astros, there's the first half, even though the first half goes a little bit longer than the halfway mark of the year. And there's the second half. So you guys get to answer this right now. What would you grade the Astros' first half of the year? I'm going to start this by saying I hate how soft we've become as a country when it comes to grading things, specifically in sports. No one gets Fs anymore unless it's an absolute disaster. Ds don't get thrown out that much anymore either, even though Ds get degrees. For the most part, somebody who is underperforming is going to get a C- in 2024, as if that is a D now. Or an F. It's not. A C is satisfactory. C plus above satisfactory. B minus to B, kind of good. B plus, good. A minus, very good. A, great. A plus, perfect. We should be harsher as graders here in 2024. Otherwise, we're failing our children. But let's bring it back to the Houston Astros with the first half of the season done. What do they deserve as a grade? I'm going to give them a D. But Paul, they're only one game back in the AL West. They're four games above 500. But they still started 7-19, guys. They still had a really awful start to the year. I don't forget that. And the reason I don't forget that is because of a lesson that I learned in a law class that I took in college, the only law class I ever took. I was under the impression that if the teacher's telling me that I don't have to be there for every single class, that this is going to be one of those classes that's rather easy to pass. So I didn't really show up for any of my comm law classes. I remember the first day that we had an exam, taking the exam, thinking, I don't know if I did that well on it, but whatever. It's my senior year. This is a class that I don't think is ultimately all that important. The grades come back for this test. We're all sitting in the classroom, and the teacher writes the high score for the test on the board and the low score for the test on the board. I see the low score, 37, and I think to myself, who's the dumbass that got this? So I'm waiting for my test to get handed back to me. My test is handed back. I got the 37. I had the lowest grade in the class on the exam. And I was so embarrassed because I was of the mindset that I could never do worse than a D if I put no effort into it at all. And I got the worst grade in the class. And that bad start that I had on my first exam ended up costing me. I did well on my next two exams. I got B's on both of them. But because I had the 37 to open up the year, my average was a D. I found out at the very end of the semester that a D does in fact get a degree. I wasn't 100% sure that that was the case. And I passed the class, but it's the lowest grade I've ever gotten in my life. And we have high standards here. The Houston Astros should never be starting off 7-19. They shouldn't. I get it. Injuries, specifically with the pitchers. But a 7-19 start is like me getting a 37 on my test. You know, brilliant mind like me getting a 37 doesn't seem possible. Houston Astros starting off 7-19 doesn't seem possible. They've overcome it, sure. But for the first half of the year, the Astros get a D. They should be in first place right now. They should.
I agree with you where it is the situation with how they've played recently is A-worthy, honestly. How they've played since getting rid of Jose Abreu, if you want to be mean, or the start of June, if you want to be nice. That has been A-worthy. That has been, Paul, the second two exams in the, was it media law class? But the problem is, you do have to count it the first
test. You have to count the first test.
This is where I'm drawing from my personal experience, one personal experience that I had where, hey, listen, really, really messed up the first part of the year, got it back on track. Like you're saying, probably adds up. We're looking at a 70, 72 or something in that range, a D. But the Astros are a good kid. I like them. Bump them up to a C minus.
But you're going to write something on the progress report about how they could have done a little bit better.
Yes, yes. But because of the track record that they have, I'm more inclined to believe that this second half, the last month and a half, I was going to say the second half of the first half, the last 6 weeks is more indicative of who this team is than the first 6 weeks. So in that case, I'm giving them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and bumping them up to a C minus.
Unbelievable.
They're a good kid. What can I say?
You're the reason.
I want to see them walk at graduation.
You're the reason America's failing.
Yeah.
You know, as I've said a couple of times before, like this is why you'll never be a great father. You need to,
thank you.
You need to,
I always love it when you drop that on
me. You need to emotionally abuse your children, right? Like you need to make them think that perfection is the only way. You need to make them still recoil in shame at the idea that they once got a 37 in their life, right? Did my parents do that? No comment. What I am going to say is that that D hurts. It's something that I still remember. It's in the back of my mind. Should be in the back of the Houston Astros' mind. We got a comment here on the Twitch. Pinche says, quit whining, Paul. We're going to kick ass after the All-Star break. I hope so. What I will say about the second half of the year, I think we're going to learn everything about this Astros team and how good they are over the next 41 games or so, because they play all of the good teams that they will the remainder of the way over that 41 game stretch. They have a really nice September, so if they don't do so hot in late July and August, there's a chance they'd actually be able to make up some of the ground in September. But to open up the month, the Mariners, they have the Dodgers, the Rays, Rangers, okay, you got 12 games against them. Maybe you don't think those are that tough, but I think we just saw from the Rangers are not a pushover for the Astros in 2024, at least right now. You got the Red Sox, who have randomly been very good this season, 6 games against them, 4 games in Baltimore against the Orioles, 3 against the Phillies, 4 more against the Kansas City Royals. You got a pretty difficult stretch to open up the second half of the year. And while you've been playing a lot better of late and you're one game out in the AL West and the Mariners seem to be doing everything they can to give you the American League West, it's going to be tough. So we'll see what happens. I'm giving them a D for the first half of the year. I like the way that they finished it, no doubt about it, but you can't erase the 37 that they got, much like Paul Gallant got back in 2010 in his communications law class. Here's the thing. Why would I need to know anything about comm law? I'm going to hire a lawyer, right? if I get sued for libel or slander, what, am I going to defend myself? Like, that was what I thought when I was in the class. I'm like, I'm going to hire a lawyer. Why do I need to know comm law? Why do I need to know communications law?
I think it's to keep you from having to hire a lawyer. save you a little bit of money by not being slanderous or libelous.
But it's fun to be slanderous and libelous. But as long as you say you're kidding.
But what they – yes, exactly. What they don't know – see, Paul, here, they're teaching that to the kid because I took a media law class. It's the only class that I ever had to take that was at 8 a.m. because they only offered it once a semester at 8 a.m. because they just want to make your life miserable. That's the reason for the class exists. And what it is they're doing that for the people that are going to go into, you know, TV, go into written journalism. Over here, sports talk radio.
Oh, yeah.
We got different rules. Yeah. We got different rules, all right?
Honestly, like, we didn't need a degree to get this job. We just have to talk out of our ass and be somewhat entertaining doing
this. Yes.
It.
Or enter in the Rock the Mic competition.
Rock the Mic competition. You're right.
Honestly, we could have just done that.
And you can enter the Rock the Mic competition for a chance to host a podcast on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. 10,000 plus followers, baby. So whether you have a podcast or you've always wanted to start one, now's the chance. Send a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. rockthemic975@gmail.com. The winner's going to be announced at our live finale August 23rd at the Carbach Brewery. Get your entries in now.
And I got word that today, congratulations, is the first day for video submissions. So you'll be front of the line. You'll be top of mind. You won't get a jaded judge who has to go through 25 of them for the last week if you get them in today. So the early bird might be able to get the worm here a little bit. And the last day for submissions is on August the 2nd.
So August 2nd.
Got about 2 weeks to tighten it up and send it on over.
You're tight 3 to 5.
Yeah.
By the way, I said this earlier. Donations, Venmo, PayPal, they won't help your chances, but they won't hurt them. From the 832, Paul, I'm just going to send you money because it seems like you don't eat enough. Damn, am I looking a little skinny? Not looking swole?
No. You look normal. You're not.
I look normal?
Yeah.
I don't look like an Adonis?
No, you look normal for Paul.
Normal for Paul? What does that mean?
Take that for what it is.
That hurt my feelings. That sounded like an insult.
Normal for Paul. I was trying to guard you. I thought you'd take you look like an everyday Joe. I thought that would gonna be disrespectful to you.
That would be disrespectful.
So I was trying to hold you to the Paul standard and say you're meeting the Paul standard, but somehow that wasn't enough. You know what? That shirt makes you look like Luis Garcia in Midtown.
Wow. I look like a fatty Pumbati.
Looks like, hey, you know. Maybe switch to light beers.
I don't look fat.
No, I'm just kidding. I just want to hurt you.
You hurt me. I gave the Astros a D for the first half of the year. We'll grade the pitching, the hitting, the managing next. And if you want to weigh in on anything, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. There were some other things that took place over the weekend. Don't you want to hear the whiny call of the Texas Rangers when Adolis Garcia got hit? You'll hear that next, too. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join us on our Twitch at ESPN 97.5 or on YouTube as well at ESPN Houston. Astros wrapped up their first half of the year, losing 2 of 3 to the Texas Rangers at Minute Maid Park. They're 4 games above 500, 50-46 on the year, but they're 1 game back of the Seattle Mariners entering the break, a 3-game series in Seattle on the other side to open things up. Something to get excited about. I gave the Astros first half of the season a D, but if we were to grade the individual parts of the Astros first half, how would we grade them? I feel like the bats, you got to give them a B. The issue is really the runners in scoring position issue, the left on base issue. But, I mean, think about this. They averaged 5.4 runs a game and 9.3 hits over the 35 games that they've been without Kyle Tucker. They've scored at least 6 runs 15 times without Kyle Tucker this year. Of late, the offense has really been looking good. And, yeah, they're missing a guy who looked like he was the Astros' leading MVP candidate. They've been without him for a very long time. I can't believe it's been this long. It does seem like things are trending in the right direction. So I will give the Astros' bats a B. The pitching is really tricky because there's so many extenuating circumstances. They've already used 29 pitchers over 96 games. They set a franchise record with 32 3 years ago. They're already at 29. I mean, if Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers pitch at all this year, I mean, you're just one person shy of the record.
Yeah, and you're at the All-Star break, right?
Yeah.
That's wild. Because normally, you know, later in the season, that you'll even get an extra arm here or there where you're like, where's this guy from?
Mm-hmm.
That's not even to mention they might make a move for an arm at the deadline beyond getting back Garcia and McCullers. So if they trade for someone, that person, if they throw,
they're
going
to break the record.
Yeah, it would be very unlikely for them not to break the record. Honestly, if they don't break the record, part of it's probably because Lance McCullers did not come back, which speaks to the issue.
If this continues, I feel like the starting pitching also gets a B. Did you expect this out of Ronel Blanco? No. Did you expect Hunter Brown to get things together after the way he started off this year? No. Did you expect Spencer Arrighetti to regularly pitch well enough? No. You were thinking Christian Javier was going to bounce back from last season. You were hoping Framber Valdez would bounce back from last year. But Javier, he gets hurt. Verlander has barely pitched this season as well. And yet you were still making it work with a four-man rotation that's held together by duct tape and rubber bands and gum. I'm giving the starting pitching a B.
Yeah, the injury aspect is what's hard to, I guess, quantify in the grades. If you're throwing it out, if you're getting them extra credit for overcoming the injuries. Because, like you said, Hunter Brown has really stepped up as of late. He's kind of been a microcosm of the Astros season,
yeah,
in itself, of absolute abject disaster to start. And he's worked himself back into being pretty much what we thought, or what some Astros, what the Astros front office and what some Astros fans thought he could be from the start, honestly, from the start of last season. But
right,
he's kind of delivering on some of the potential that we were told about when he was a prospect. So it is a tough grade to give, because even someone like Spencer Arrighetti, you know, if it was individual, it's like, yeah, he's been good, but he's been up and down. Some starts have been really bad, but at a certain point, he didn't think he was going to have to pitch this much. He shouldn't be in a position where he's pitching as much as he is. So it is something where, as a whole, I don't think that the starting pitching, for parts of this year, I think starting pitcher was the problem for the Astros. But a lot of that's just out of their control. It is guys being hurt, or guys like Arrighetti, like Hunter Brown, being thrust in position, like Jake Bloss, like Blair Henley, getting thrust in a position that they shouldn't be in.
Exactly. So starting pitching, giving that a B. Bullpen, D.
Yeah.
Josh Hader has been very disappointing. I don't think you can mince words about it. You are paying him to be close to automatic. He has been far from that. Ryan Presley has pitched a lot better recently, so that makes you feel better. But even Brian Abreu this year has not seemed like the Brian Abreu of last year. Rafael Montero. I always get my Rafael's twisted.
And Rafael.
Because that's Rafael Stone. No, Rafael Stone trending up.
Yeah.
Rafael Montero, get off my roster. I mean, he gave up another home run over the weekend. 8 home runs allowed. It's like the most of any Astros pitcher, I think. Any Astros reliever. Every time he comes into the game, you're like, what the hell? And I get why a lot of people yesterday were second-guessing why Joe Espada would put Montero in that spot. And his reasoning was, well, if we're not up by one run, we don't want to use Hader or Abreu or Presley. Why do you want to use Montero at all? Can you just dump him? Can you just dump him? You did it with Jose Abreu. Is it really going to be so hard to get rid of two guys in 1 year that are making way too much money? And maybe it is, but come on. He is unusable in crunch situations. You might be tied for first place right now. And if not for some of the other just pants poopages by your bullpen, you might be in first place right now. D. Easily a D. There's been some nice performances. Taylor Scott, he's been fun. Seth Martinez, he's done pretty well. There's a lot of guys that have come in there and done a pretty good job considering we had very low expectations and we're thinking to ourselves, they let Hector Neris go? Why? The bullpen doesn't have enough depth. But the guys that you were expecting to be dominant have all had stretches this year where you've been like, oh, what's going on? Presley, Abreu, and Josh Hader. And then you throw in Rafael Montero show on top of all of it. D.
Yeah. Taylor Scott, though. Just want to single out Taylor Scott. You've been good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Scott has been good.
I like what we've gotten out of Taylor Scott. And I like what we've gotten as of late from Presley. And to a certain extent, Hader, too. Hader is weird because it feels like when it's tied, he gives up a home run. When it's a save situation, he's got it. It is a very weird situation. He hasn't blown very many saves. It's just he just hasn't been like a lights out pitcher.
I hate though that when you say that, even if it is a fact, I hate that that gets used by some of the baseball experts out there as confirmation bias that he shouldn't be used in situations.
Oh no, I'm not
where it's not the close.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
I know you're not
that he's been kind of bipolar in the way his production's been, where it seems like he just really loves closing. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't either. From a managing perspective, people were looking at someone to get mad at for the first half of the year. They focused on Joe Espada. Joe Espada doesn't hit. Joe Espada doesn't pitch. Joe Espada manages the lineup on a day-to-day basis, probably something that is told, dictated to him by Dana Brown and everyone in the front office. So I don't even know how much criticism you give him for lineup construction on the same level that some of you people bitched and moaned about Dusty Baker on a daily basis. I didn't because I was lazy. But then eventually it just got annoying. You guys are always going to bitch about the manager here. Always have, as it is. So Joe Espada was going to get blamed for a lot of the first half issues. But since his two critical speeches, the speech after getting swept by the Cubs, the two-game series in Mexico City, it's opening day.
Forgot about that.
They're 41-27 since then. And after losing to the White Sox 2-0, he said, "Hey, let's get back to 500." They've done both. They've done pretty well since both of those moments. Crossroads moments for Joe Espada.
Yeah.
I think Joe Espada, I'll give him a C-, just because all of you guys are complaining about him all the time. And he's not Pawpaw. He's not Dusty Baker. But, I mean, it hasn't been that bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to grade him. What a manager's done in half a season, because like you said, at a certain point it's like, well, so he made all the bad decisions when they're losing, but then when they're winning he's not making the right decisions. Mm-hmm. How does that
exactly
coincide? Like, I feel like if you're gonna blame him for making bad decisions, you should give him credit for making the right ones.
Exactly.
Especially as a rookie manager.
Clearly he did not want Jose Abreu to play. Clearly. YouTube Keith asks, what grade would you give Jeff Bagwell? Jeff Bagwell, we have sent him to juvie. We've said this, I think, before when we've been talking about grading for Jeff Bagwell.
It's suspended from school.
You know, it's one thing to smoke cigarettes on school property / sign Rafael Montero to that ridiculous deal, but it's another thing entirely to be rolling up a J and giving Jose Abreu that deal, too, on campus, okay? It's just too much chain smoking by Jeff Bagwell on campus. Listen, he can figure it out. You just got to stay off my campus and figure it out somewhere else.
Yeah.
Second chance in life. Just not here.
We're not running second chance you over here.
This is not last chance you.
Or last chance you. Yeah. We're not doing that.
Yeah. Anyway, it is Gallant and George. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call. To text, you can join us on YouTube as well, at ESPN Houston, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We are 52 days away from the start of the NFL season. How better to celebrate that than by listening to arguably our greatest NFL orator of all time, Gallant and George. Stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
52 days away from the start of the NFL season. Training camp for the Houston Texans kicking off later in the week. Gonna lather up with my SPF 100. Get out there, take notes in my handy-dandy notebook. I'm gonna track statistics for guys throwing in shorts against people that aren't actually rushing after them and people covering other guys in shorts. Hell yeah, I can't wait. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm actually truly excited for this.
I need a Case Keenum was 4 for 6 with the this morning.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep the most arbitrary statistics for random players.
Yeah, just keep your eye on him.
Randomly bringing up Davis Mills stats
to
create a quarterback competition.
See what Jared Patterson's up to.
yeah. Ray Lewis is the greatest number 52 in NFL history. Ray Lewis also might be the voice of football. Yes, there's been a lot of times where he has been just saying unintelligible things, essentially speaking in tongues, but he does it with such energy, with such gusto, that I have a great deal of respect for him as someone who tries to do the same thing. Anyway, for anyone who played Madden 13, Ray Lewis gives you this speech every single time you launch that game up.
I've always been told that I'm too small. I'm not big enough. I'm not fast enough. I don't have what it takes to be the best and stay there. Sweat is necessary. Walt and Jerry had their heels, never being comfortable with just good enough.
It's right now, never! It's right now, never!
I prepare so no one can take what is mine. No one can replace my mind, my heart. Lombardi inspired me, and now our biggest prize bears his name. I'm older. Of course I'm older. That's the beauty of it. 16 years plus. A different level of wisdom. A different level of understanding. A different level of punishment. I'm going to live long after my records have fallen. Long after my rings have tarnished. And whatever you got to do to make sure you chase your legacy every second of your life. Will you be remembered? How would you be remembered? Why wouldn't you fight for the greatest achievement ever?
Damn, dude. I'm motivated to burn a white suit hearing that.
I am motivated, though. I might listen to that before college football comes out.
Honestly, I should set this as my alarm for the rest of the week so that I actually wake up on time. Because Ray Lewis telling me to wake up.
Yeah.
You could get me to wake up.
You're wiser now.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that he broke the Madden curse because they won the Super Bowl that year. The 12-13 season,
yeah,
the Ravens won.
Yeah, they won that year. So, wow. I in my head, because it's 13, I thought it was after they won. That's why they put him on the cover. But yeah, you're right. If it was Madden 13, it came out before the 12-13 season.
So
hats off to him.
Seriously, a tip of the hat. By the way, Ray Lewis allows us to segue into talking about something really sad that happened yesterday. Jacoby Jones passed away at the age of 40. For those who don't know, he played for the Houston Texans. Seeing the reaction from a lot of his ex-teammates, J.J. Watt, Arian Foster, Matt Schaub, Dwayne Brown, among many others, I think really shows you what a guy he was. I got to interview him once. Such a fun, goofy person. And it is an absolute shame that he passed away so young. We actually do have a Ray Lewis, Jacoby Jones connection. And this is maybe one of my favorite Ray Lewis, I don't know what the hell he's talking about moments. But Ray Lewis believes that in the Super Bowl that the Baltimore Ravens beat the San Francisco 49ers, where Jacoby Jones had a record 109-yard kick return touchdown, that he is the reason that Jones scored that touchdown. Here is Ray Lewis rambling.
God tells me to go put my hands on Jacoby Jones.
Come on.
It's something about faith. But more importantly, it's something about receiving it and then applying it. I walked over to him and I told him, I'm just doing what God told me. And that's put my hands on him. And I put my hands on his chest. And I touched his chest. And I went to the sideline and everybody else didn't know. But I knew something magical was about to happen.
So Ray Lewis would probably credit himself for the Jacoby Jones kick return for a touchdown in that Super Bowl. I imagine Jacoby Jones probably thinking to himself after seeing this video by Ray Lewis, like, what the effing F is he talking about?
I don't know. If you share a locker room with Ray Lewis for an entire year, I'm sure you're like, yeah, I'm sure that's what Ray Lewis thinks happened.
Man, imagine being his teammate. And it's also someone like Jacoby Jones, who was goofy by nature. I imagine trying not to laugh while Ray Lewis comes over to you, touching you on the chest.
That would be the biggest. That would be the hardest thing for. It might be harder for me not to laugh in the locker room if I'm on the Baltimore Ravens. It might be harder for me not to laugh at Ray Lewis than it would be for me to make the Baltimore Ravens. Like, it's like, to be good enough to actually be in the NFL, it might be easier than to not crack a smile when he's talking about laying hands on people and God transferring, I don't know, touchdown juice to someone else.
He is scary, so that might help you keep the laughter in. But, yeah, you might feel like Private Pyle at the beginning of Full Metal Jacket with the sergeant that's in his face, and he cracks up a couple of times at first. You would probably be like that a couple of times, yes, with Ray Lewis in the locker room. Anyway, I did want to remember Jacoby Jones. This is the kick return for a touchdown that he had in the Super Bowl, where at the moment it looked like the Ravens were going to run away with it. This put Baltimore up big in that game.
Jim Harbaugh, that is. And this could be a run back from 9 deep for Jacoby Jones. And look at him go. Jones is past the 50, and he is flying inside the 20, and a kickoff return, 109 yards and a touchdown, an all-time record.
I'm glad that Jacoby got that moment. And he also had that big touchdown for the Ravens to send it to overtime against the Broncos in that two-overtime game classic, the divisional round of the playoffs. Because, look, selfishly, we were all mad at Jacoby Jones when he muffed that punt against the Baltimore Ravens the year before the 2011-2012 playoffs. But I'm happy that he got to have that moment, two games where you could argue he was the difference against Denver and in that Super Bowl. And just for one for the road for Jacoby Jones to remember him, here is a Gus Johnson call of one of his touchdowns that he had with the Houston Texans.
22-6. Leckler punts it away. Wow. He just drilled this one all the way to the 5. Jacoby Jones! Your man to beat! Jacoby Jones! Touchdown, Houston!
There we go.
95 big ones!
Jacoby Jones, 40 years old. Rest in peace. Real fun person. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just Paul, no Joe, he's on vacation. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Up next, we got a deep steel blue pill for you. We'll answer some of your questions too. Stick around, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
No Joe, just Paul today. You can ask questions on YouTube or on Twitch. Michael A. 20 asks on YouTube, do you think Houston will get a WNBA team again? I don't think so. I suppose that this recent surge in popularity with Caitlin Clark could mean WNBA expansion at some point, but for the most part, it seems to be a money-losing proposition. Who's going to want to put the money down to create that team? And would there be enough interest here in Houston, which is not the most diehard sports city, to support it? I'm not sure there would be. I mean, the Comets won all of those games, and I think the reason the Comets don't exist is because, who was it? The guy who was always competing with Mattress Pack bought the team, and I think didn't realize that they don't make any money despite all of the winning, and ultimately they were out of business. Not too long after he took over.
What was the furniture place? It was a different
furniture. It's Hilton Furniture, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is only 12 WNBA teams, so if they do expand, like it would be pretty easy for them to expand. They are expanding. They're getting a San Francisco and a Toronto team coming up.
I think that look, Houston is relatively blue, at least compared to the rest of Texas. But I feel like the only teams that at least say they are supporting women's sports are generally in blue cities. Makes sense in San Francisco. Makes sense in Seattle. Makes sense in Portland. I don't really think it makes that much sense here. Just my thought. I'd rather have a hockey team as well. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch a women's basketball team if one comes to town. Yeah. I got strong-armed into watching the Seattle Storm when I was up in Seattle. And look, they were really good, but did I want to watch them or did I feel obligated to watch them? It was the latter. And that's from somebody who is paid to talk about sports for a living.
Yeah. I think there's a decent chance that Houston would get a team. Just off the top of my head, they'd be up there they could get a team either by relocation or expansion. But I don't know if it's like super imminent, you know? It's not like the NBA expansion where we know it's going to be probably
Vegas,
Seattle, maybe Mexico City, maybe Vancouver. It's like
Mexico City. God,
they keep like throwing it in there. I'm like, maybe
we stop trying to make Mexico City happen.
Wow.
What?
Wall just got 10 feet higher.
Paul, yeah. Gone. Well, it's not built, but yeah, we don't need teams there. No one's going to want to play there. No free agent's going to want to go there.
Yeah.
No offense. But no one's going to want to go there.
People don't want to play for the Raptors.
Put a team in Tulum, put a team in Cancun, put a team in Cabo. All right, maybe we're talking about something different here, but I don't know if the locals are going to actually support that team. So, no, come on. Come on. My God. I get it. We live in a world. We share a planet with all sorts of other countries. And then you see what happened at Copa America yesterday, run by these people that are running things in other countries, you know, like the what's that group called? I forget what they're
Common
called.
Ball.
Yeah. They come in here to run one event and it's an absolute disaster. Do you want your teams going to these other places that are run by other people that aren't American? Like, I'm sorry. No, I don't. That was horribly run yesterday. What a disaster that whole thing was.
Yeah, the finger pointing was also great too. And then So like someone was like, "Oh, actually Hard Rock Stadium has like at least a football game every weekend for 4 months."
And college football games too.
And a college football game and bowl games and all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And this stuff doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. Spare me with the international push. Just stick to ourselves, okay? It's fine. We can stay in our country. Screw all the other ones.
America
so, first!
Yeah, so many takes.
Fight!
Just boil down to, like, no, America.
Yeah, pretty much. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. I'll gladly stand up next to you, defenders, still today. Because there ain't no doubt, I love this land. God bless the USA. I also love football. And, guys, it's time for a deep steel blue pill, baby.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take the deep steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texas
score!
The Houston Texans, guys, lots of pass rushers. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, Derek Barnett, Mario Edwards, Jerry Hughes, a bunch of defensive tackles that I don't know the names of off the top of my head.
J.J. Watt? Question mark?
Ooh, looking hot. You see those quads? I didn't know that muscles looked like that on your quads. But they've got a lot going on in the pass rush department. And it's got Booger McFarland of ESPN, former defensive tackle himself, Super Bowl champion, thinking this about the Houston Texans defense.
Just watching these guys gel together, you know, everyone has talked a lot about Danielle Hunter, and I love him. I've seen his maturation from LSU, where they didn't think he could rush the passer, to where he is now and how he's climbed the sack ladder. Now you're going to bring him and put him with Will Anderson Jr. to take this young guy under his wing and help him kind of navigate once they recognize who you are. How do you beat the double teams? How do you take that next step? But I think the most underrated signing could be Danico Autry, because we all know that that this pass rush thing kind of goes in cycles. We talked about the edge guys. It's amazing. I think now you want your pressure coming from the interior. And isn't it something that Aaron Donald retires and we're trying to figure out who's going to be the next guy to dominate inside? Or maybe it's going to be a couple of guys. One guy that I think is going to have a really good season is Danico Autry because of his versatility. He can play outside, but I love that trio inside. They're going to challenge, I think, for most sacks in the National Football League if they stay healthy.
They had the most sacks in franchise history last year, 46. They had set the record back in 2015 during a 16-game schedule with 45. 17 games, okay. A little bit easier to rack up 46 sacks, I guess. But, I mean, that's the most they ever had, and they clearly added a ton this time around. If you take a look at the teams that were the sack leaders in the league last year, it stands to reason the Texans should be up there, assuming that C.J. Stroud and the offense do their job and they find themselves in lots of shootouts. I feel like there's a very good chance that the Texans end up having a bleep ton of sacks this coming season. You added 28. It should be on the table. The offense is going to have to help them out, though. It has to be kind of complimentary. And also, maybe the defense hurts you a little bit. Maybe the defense is giving up a ton of big plays, and they find themselves in situations where teams are just deciding, you know what, we're going to throw every single down. But with the pass rush that they have, if the Houston Texans have this kind of season that we all think that they are capable of, but we don't necessarily know that they are going to get through, they will be towards the top of the NFL in terms of total sacks.
Yes, that's why I agree with you and with Booger, is that you throw in, A, the talent in the door, way higher level of talent than they had last year. Not way... I'm not sure about way higher, but higher. You mix in not just the games that they're going to be playing and the offenses they're going to be playing, but they're offenses that are basically all led by a great quarterback. So you think these teams are going to put the ball in their best players' hands when they're playing the Texans, and also the question marks at the secondary will also lead to pass attempts, which will or more dropbacks, yeah, at least, which will give the guys up front a chance to get more sacks. And, I mean, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans aren't dumb, all right? They know like they have an idea for what they want to build and how they want to prioritize, because coming in to the offseason, we thought secondary and defensive line were the two biggest issues. They put a lot of chips, maybe all their chips, in on the defensive line. They did that with an idea of how this can work. And so until proven otherwise, I'm going to trust DeMeco Ryans and what he wants out of his defense.
46 sacks, the franchise record for the Texans in 2023. Can you guess, Sean Mapes, where that ranked among NFL teams?
I'm going to go eighth.
Tied for 13th.
Wow. So
the Ravens had the most with 60. The Chiefs, 57.
Yeah, a lot of good teams.
Dolphins, 56. Bills, 54. Colts, 51.
Huh.
Browns, 49. Chargers, Jets, 49ers, Bucks, Steelers, and Seahawks all had more. They were tied with the Cowboys. As well. So they're middle of the pack in the NFL, yeah. Despite setting the franchise record for sacks in a season. They've added a lot. They have waves of pass rushers to throw out there. I don't really love their defensive tackle pass rush ability. It really is going to be DeNico Autry in passing situations being subbed in probably on that interior to give you the most possible guys to throw at a quarterback. It's great that you've got like six guys that I feel like are all competent to plus NFL players that you could put out there. Hughes, Barnett, Edwards are, I think, really good depth for you at that front. To lead the NFL in sacks, though, is going to require something like 60 sacks. So, Booger McFarland is one of many people who is feeding us these deep steel blue pills. And, oh boy, we're all tempted to just lap them all up. I don't know that I can fully co-sign them leading the NFL in sacks, but if they are close to it, they probably had a 13-win regular season.
Yeah, I think it's a it would be a symptom of what how they're like at right now. You could show me. You can go back, go forward in time, write down how many sacks they have, and go come back to today and show us how many sacks they had and where that ranked in the NFL, and we would have a pretty good idea for how successful they were.
100%. I'm gonna set the over under at 51.
That's a good number.
51. And look, they get 51. I mean, that's five more than last year. You're probably thinking to yourself, well, you could have gotten a little bit more.
Yeah.
But there are going to be some games where they lose to these great offenses that they're going up against. I think the best thing for the Texans, if you take a look at their schedule, the first part of the schedule,
rookies,
they're going up against some bumps.
Yeah.
The second half of the year, though, is going to be interesting. How injured are they? How is everybody still ready to go? Is the secondary going to be figured out by the second half of the year? Or are you going to be going through a long stretch without Derek Stingley Jr.? It's that might be the biggest question mark defensively for them next year.
Yeah, and part of it also is the fact that you're going to be playing a lot of good quarterbacks. And a lot of these quarterbacks aren't exactly... Well, you're playing a lot of rookies on the front end. And then you're playing quarterbacks where they're good. They look good on the Sunday Night Football banner where they preview next week's game. But they're also quarterbacks that do take a lot of sacks.
Yes.
They're good quarterbacks that take sacks.
Some do. I mean, Mahomes is really good at evading sacks.
Mahomes and Rodgers, those are good at avoiding.
But Lamar Jackson is someone you can sack four times.
Josh Allen
as well.
If you can get him on the ground, you can sack him.
Stats are for losers, final scores for winners, but it is very interesting to see the Houston Texans continue to be praised in just about every single possible category. The pass rush should be a lot better than it was last year, and it was pretty good last year. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Yes, the Astros are only a game out of first place in the American League West after their first half came to a close on Sunday. But, man, missed opportunities this past weekend. We'll discuss them. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. You're going to get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000. You get to play with that deposit bonus right away. You can bet on all sorts of different things. Maybe you want to bet on a little blackjack or a little poker. You can also bet on sports. You want to bet on the All-Star game? You can. You want to bet on tonight's home run derby? You can. You can bet on anything at mybookie.ag. Hell, you could bet on WNBA basketball. Yeah, we're not kidding. Are you going to bet the under every single game because you're a hater? You might. Should you? I don't know. Seems like you're putting women down if you do that. But, hey, some of us like to put money on things that we don't like. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 for that awesome deposit bonus. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, whether it's sports or just your routine games a chance with MyBookie.ag. Sign up with that promo code BET975 today.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.